The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're live today. Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. Come on out, say hi. Stop in for lunch. Newark, Delaware. We'll be here doing our show until 2 o'clock today. Love this place. So much going on and so much to talk about as the Eagles get ready for a huge game. Really the biggest, clearly the biggest game of the season. The Eagles and the Commanders tomorrow night at Lincoln Financial Field. First place on the line in the division. Let's talk about the game and how the Eagles are playing heading into this thing with our guy, Seth Joyner, right now. Seth, how you doing?
Seth.
What's happening, fella?
What's going on, man?
What's happening?
Well, Seth, big week here. A big week, and we're excited for it. Seth, let's start with the defensive side of the football, Seth. It's now a good sample of this thing turning around to a level that, Seth, I didn't know they could get there this year with all these young guys. When you watch this defense right now, are you convinced that they have really become this good, or are you still at the point where it's like, all right, they've played some bad offenses, let's see it now against Jaden Daniels and Stafford and Lamar? Where are you on how good this defense is now?
Yeah, you know, I'm not one of those buyers into the whole, oh, they played bad teams, bad defenses, bad offenses, whatever, you know. There's some offenses and some teams that are better than others, but, you know, the truth is, you know, there's only 1,696 players in the entire league. Hard for me to believe that, you know, there's bad teams out there. When you look at them relative to others, then I can see it. So I'm not a big buyer of that. You know, they've progressed and they've gotten better bit by bit, whether it's tackling, assignment, aggression, whatever you want to call it. You know, they've gotten better week by week, and that's what they just need to continue to do. Now, they got a big challenge coming up this week, especially, you know, trying to keep this quarterback in the pocket. But I think they're up for it because, you know, with all the successes that they've had, 5 wins in a row, that builds confidence. And confidence is the number one thing I believe that any athlete, professional athlete, needs to be great.
Seth, if you were Howie Roseman right now, would you be trying to lock up Zach Bond? It's pretty incredible what he's done this year, and it's not just one or two big games. I mean, we're talking about 3 or 4 or 5 of these weeks. He's been one of the best linebackers in the whole league. Would you try to keep him away from the free agent market? Because they got a good one here. Seth, I want to keep him.
Well, listen, the key word is right now. You said right now. I don't know that, you know, it's going to be one of those right now situations. They've got him under contract with. They still got 8 games left in the season. You know, from the indications of what we'd heard from Zach Bond about the difference between being here and being in New Orleans, it sounds like this is a place where he wants to be. It would behoove Howie to begin thinking about it because at the rate that he's playing, you know, you're looking at a potential Pro Bowl linebacker. And if he makes the Pro Bowl, then the price is going to go up even more. So it really just depends on, you know, what it is, how he's trying to do, how soon they want to get it done. But I think you've got the beginnings of a good core of linebackers, and you want to do everything you can to try to keep them together, you know, at least through the next 3 to 5 years.
Seth Joyner joining us here as we discuss the Eagles. They get set for a huge one against the Commanders. All right, Seth, let's look at the game tomorrow night, the challenge the Commanders present, and Jaden Daniels. What's your thought on him so far? I mean, his numbers are remarkable. He looks very poised out there. A couple days ago, Ron Jaworski said he's the best rookie quarterback he's ever seen. What are you noticing with Jaden Daniels, and how do you think the Eagles should try to slow him down tomorrow night?
Well, listen, he has, you know, he has that rare ability to understand where everybody is and, you know, where all his options are, to go through his progressions extremely quickly. It's funny because I was reading something a couple of weeks ago. He's been using virtual reality ever since, you know, he was at LSU. So his entire playbook is on virtual reality. So most of these kids are playing video games all day long. He's on virtual reality going through, you know, his playbook. So you commit to memory and you commit to, you know, how you, you know, the night before a game, visualize, you know, what you want to happen. It's amazing. The mind doesn't know the difference between, you know, reality and what's going on presently. So he's fed that information in his mind, and I think that's allowed him to progress a lot faster than any quarterback, young rookie quarterback that we've ever seen. But on top of that, he's got, you know, some God-given skills and talents that's hard to, you know, it's just his ability to get out of the pocket and beat you with his legs, to make people miss, his ability to make throws on the run. Those are just God-given gifts. Now, those are challenges for the Eagles defense, especially for a defense that can be undisciplined in their lane rushes sometimes. This is not the week for that. You know, Bryce Huff, Nolan Smith, BG, and in particular, Josh Sweat, because he is, like, notorious for losing contain. They can't do it. They can't do it today in this game. They can't rush. They can't speed rush and get run by the quarterback. That can't happen, because he will hurt you. In man coverage, he'll gain 25 before you can even react to it with everybody with their backs turned. And if you're in zone, he's going to scramble horizontal to the line of scrimmage and buy time for guys to alter their routes and come back. So they have to keep him in the pocket, and they've got to figure out a way to get this number four ranked rush offense under control early in the game and make them one-dimensional.
You know, Seth, I'm curious, because you've been a part of those back-to-backs, especially when you're playing division opponents and everything like that. How much stock do you put into the fact that they had a little bit of a dogfight against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now they're coming to play us? Do you think that factor works in our favor?
Oh, yeah, especially on a short week. Back in the day when Washington had the Hogs, like, on Monday and Tuesday, you felt like you was just beat to hell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because those guys, they were a very physical football team. Now, there were some other teams you played. I mean, I could have probably suited up again on Wednesday, but not after playing, you know, the aforementioned Redskins. Yeah. No way. Yeah. So when you think about that physical type of game that they just played, and they didn't have the luxury of being able to pull their starters in the fourth quarter, they had to play all the way through and came up, you know, with a one-point loss. So you take all of that into consideration, and then also take into consideration they got to get on the bus. Even though they played at home, they got to get on the bus and ride up here 4 hours. You know what I'm saying? So you take all those things into consideration, and the fact that the Eagles are going to be at home – even though it's a short week, I think it's an advantage for the Eagles, because the Eagles had a chance to, in the fourth quarter, pull all their starters and get some guys rested. So there's a massive advantage, in my opinion.
Seth Joyner joining us here as we discuss the Eagles and the Commanders tomorrow night. Huge one in the NFC. Seth, how would you assess the season Jalen Hurts has had to this point? Because we were discussing earlier, in my mind, it feels like we've almost underrated it, because it wasn't great early. It was choppy turnovers, and it feels like we've almost missed the point that now, in totality, he's having a really good year. I mean, you look at his numbers compared to all the other quarterbacks, and his rankings are right there, 4, 5, 6, 8, like, you know, clearly a top 10 kind of season. It doesn't feel like he gets talked about that way. How would you assess the season in totality of Hurts so far?
Well, listen, first of all, you got to bring into the equation, we're talking about Philadelphia, okay? You got to bring into the equation that, you know, we as a city – and our sports teams, we're probably more critical than any other city in the nation. We ride high and we enjoy the good times, but when times aren't good, we become extremely critical. And the noise is palpable because it filters out on a national level. You know, so the disrespect for Jalen hasn't just been in Philadelphia, it's on a national level. I think I saw a quote by Dominique Foxworth yesterday that making a comparison to Jalen Carter and Jaden Daniels. And Dominique said that, you know, Jaden Daniels is already the best quarterback in the NFC East. And I'm like, what about a body of work? This kid's played, what, 9 games?
Mm-hmm.
And you going to crown him? You know? And then it's just, you know, the hate for Jalen, you know, is palpable because I just believe that. I feel like when you're a first-round quarterback that you get so much more leeway and so much more – there's so much more forgiveness and benefit for those type of guys because the expectations are so high and you get, you know, sometimes 3, 4, 5 years sometimes to prove that you ain't it, you know. But when you seep out of that first round and you get pushed into the second or the third, there's not a whole lot of expectations on you, you know. So when you falter a little bit, even though you have some success, the hate and everything else that goes along with that is magnified, you know. If Jalen Hurts was a top 10 draft pick, we wouldn't even be talking about him the way we're talking about him. We just wouldn't. Because when you look around, you look at Jared Goff last week had 5 interceptions. Brock Purdy had 2 interceptions. But all we want to talk about is all, you know, Jalen, he turned the ball over again. But these other quarterbacks around the league, it's like I got into it with Joe the other morning because I'm like, we always move the goalposts when it comes to Jalen. The expectations are so much greater for him than it is for any other quarterback in the National Football League. And that's BS. It's wrong. You know, look at his body of work. Oh, he can't throw. Then you look at him dropping dimes, you know, to A.J. Brown. Oh, he can't throw over the middle. Oh, then he hits A.J. Brown across the middle. Everything that people keep talking about what he can't do, he keeps proving people wrong, and people continue to look for reasons to discount this guy. And it's wrong because you know what? Plain and simple, he's a winner. He figures out ways to win. Everybody wants to talk about Nick Sirianni's record. Well, guess what? If Nick Sirianni is 40 or 41 and 19, guess what? Jalen Hurts is 41 and 19 right along with him. And you tell me how many other quarterbacks got a better record in the National Football League than that. One, Patrick Mahomes. Give this man his respect.
Well said, Seth. Yeah, I think we have tunnel vision sometimes. You mentioned the interceptions. I mean, there are 3 or 4 quarterbacks that have doubled the interceptions just this season. And we kind of harp on, yeah, we have the tunnel vision on what Jalen does here in Philly. Seth, appreciate it.
Joey, it could be worse. Okay, there's a lot of places out there that will take Jalen Hurts right now.
In a heartbeat.
It will swap.
Yeah.
So I mean, sometimes, you know, you got to be happy with what you got because the alternative could be a hell of a lot worse.
Well, that's true. There's a handful of teams in the NFL that are just dying for a quarterback. Seth, we appreciate you hopping on as always. Have a great rest of the week and enjoy tomorrow night. And we'll catch up next week, hopefully with a first-place Eagles team. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, fellas. Peace.
There you go. Seth Joyner there with his thoughts on Jalen Hurts. The Jaden Daniels thing was interesting, Hugh, the way he framed trying to contain him because it's one of
he
those
things.
Well, like, we need to get pressure on him tomorrow night, right? That's obvious. But if you don't, the way he framed it was if you don't rush with integrity and he gets outside.
Keep them rush lanes.
I mean, he glides. Like, he can go for 30 yards and just easily. Like, he'll just pick up chunk yardage if you let him get outside the pocket.
Yeah. I remember being in games where, like, Sam playing against a guy like Michael Vick. That was the most important thing you did all night long was make sure that you didn't let that quarterback pull the ball down and run it.
Is that almost, against guys like that, is it almost more important than the sack?
Yes.
Just not letting him get away?
Wouldn't be surprised if they don't get any sacks in this game unless somebody goes renegade.
Right.
And then you might have a problem because if you don't keep those rush lanes, those integrity on those rush lanes, it can make for a long day. Because you got to think, Terry McLaurin and those receivers back there, who's the other guy that we got that they said was better than the guy that we traded for? Can't remember his name.
Oh, you know they have on that team? They have Olamide Zaccheaus down there.
Olamide's
Noah
down
Brown.
There.
Brown has done
well,
a lot.
Well,
yeah.
And this
and
is
the kid from Georgia. What's his name? There's a rookie from Georgia that's playing receiver for them.
Oh, I forgot his name. I think I know you're talking about. But anyway, he took
McCaffrey.
The McCaffrey kid. Yeah. Not from Georgia. He's not from Georgia, though, is he? He's not McCaffrey.
Go ahead.
We'll figure it out. But anyway, you do not want to have your secondary back there covering and have the quarterback running and bumping his head on the goalpost because somebody has lost pass rush integrity. So, yeah, you definitely want to keep a guy like that contained. Now, we talked about for the last couple of weeks, he hasn't really ran a lot since he had that rib injury.
He hasn't. It's been different, his running.
But if you have a team that has had success lately getting to the quarterback, then you're going to try to take advantage of that.
First five games, he ran 52 times, right? About 10 per game.
Mm-hmm.
The last five, it's dropped down to 25 total rushes, so five per game. It's been cut in half. I mean, maybe that's some, but it's just they blew a team out. He did miss like three quarters of a game because he got hurt with the rib thing. So, you know, we'll see how much he runs tomorrow night. But he is definitely a threat to run the football. 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines here. Jalen Hurts, have we underrated his season? I think we have. I think we've almost lost it in the conversation. Like, we've just – you almost sometimes miss the big picture because you're focused on all the details. September was choppy. I understand that. And I know they've thrown the ball less. But in total, he's had a good season. I think we've underrated it here. Where do you come down on Jalen Hurts? Or do you think we've been fair about the whole thing? And, of course, ComboCon, looking for weird food combos because Hugh thinks that – what's weird?
Trail mix with candy corn. It's not that weird. That's horrible. That's horrible.
You got to try these
Whoever
things.
Whoever made candy corn, like, they need to just stop.
Yeah, but most people think the things you think are weird are normal.
Stop.
So we
candy
need an actual weird
good,
combination. We're live today, Klondike Kates in Newark, Delaware. Let's go to Chris in Middletown, Delaware. Hey, Chris.
Happy Klondike Kates Day, man.
That is exactly what it is. It's an awesome place. Chris, what's up today?
Hey, what's going on here is, first of all, I'm on my way up. I'll see you guys in about 15 minutes, so your timing is impeccable. Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
You stand strong on that hill, Hugh. You stay with that take. Don't let Kyle bully you, all right?
Well, he's going to try. I mean, we know he's going to try. That's the bottom line.
Oh, no, I'm going to stay with this one for a while, man. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is.
Joe, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who has a stronger take? Hugh's defense is a luxury. With mm-hmm. Hugh, I was on that boat with you, but I jumped ship. or OG Wade, Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the league, including over Patrick Mahomes. I wonder who has a stronger take. That's an interesting one for me.
So that is interesting. I would say this. I would say Hugh is closer to relenting than OG Wade. I don't think there's anything that Jalen could do to get OG Wade to get off that. I feel like, I don't know, Eagles shut down the Commanders. Hugh might drop this one on Friday. He's ready to fold. I can see it.
And guys, you know, let's talk about this. Here's my opinion of this. We are extremely fair on Jalen. You know, we are a very fair fan base, all right? Logic and reason are always the driving forces behind our reaction.
Always,
and
always.
Our opinion.
Yes.
So I think we're very, very fair. Me personally, I think I'm very, very fair because I'm never emotional when it comes to the Eagles or the Phillies.
No, no.
So, guys, but the interesting thing with this, and we talked about it the other day, we know this offense runs through Saquon Barkley, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? We talked about this in the beginning of the year. We wanted Jalen to become a game manager. He can. Here's a take that Chris in Middletown wants to throw out there. I see a team starting to show something to me and starting to come into appearance. And I wonder what your take is, and I'm going to give you my combo right after. But here's what I see forming before my eyes. I feel like it's 2000. I'm watching the Baltimore Ravens. I'm watching a team that is run dominant in offense and got a bunch of defensive players running out there destroying people on defense. Now, we don't have the veterans. Ours is being done with Thundercats. But I'm seeing some very strong similarities there, Hugh, and I'm sorry.
Some similarities.
2000 Ravens?
2000 Ravens.
That's a bold take, bro.
That's the greatest defense I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's a bold
You're
take.
You're inspired
yeah,
me, Hugh. I live that.
I live that. And, you know, it's funny. Me and Ray used to talk like, they beat the brakes off the Giants that year.
Oh, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, I was a
and I remember. I remember we were at the Pro Bowl, and I was talking trash to Ray because I was like, "Dog, you know if we because he just came, he didn't play, but he was like, we would have beat you." I was like, "No, I think we'd have went toe to toe." Like that. That was the feeling that we had because we had a pretty good defense, but that defense, they were
Siragusa out, and Adams
man.
And McCrary.
They were laying people
they were unbelievable.
Out, man.
Unbelievable.
Hey, if they do business on Thursday, maybe not a crazy take. Guys,
I don't know, dog. That Baltimore defense.
It would be funny if we ended up
with
one of the greatest defenses ever in the year Hugh says defense is a luxury, not a necessity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would be an all-timer.
Straight booty face up in this month.
All right, Chris, what do you got for us? ComboCon.
Got a combo. You stop throwing a wet blanket on my take. I supported you and yours. So here's my ComboCon. I like nothing more than a very nice, tall, full glass of milk when I'm eating some steamed clams.
Milk and clams?
Oh, that sounds like bubble guts for sure.
Oh, Chris, we appreciate it. We'll see you here in a little
while. Oh, that's terrible.
Please don't order that here. I don't even know if they have that
here.
Well,
doesn't that kind of remind you of clam chowder?
It does, but there's...
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Well,
they're separated, creamy, though, right?
Yes. No, trust me.
About creamy clam. Like,
I don't eat clam chowder.
Me neither.
I love clam chowder, man.
Would you have milk and clams?
Probably not.
Yeah, nope. That's a weird...
I think there are weirder.
Cold milk and clams.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's an odd combination.
Milk and any seafood, I just like... Eh.
See, these are really weird combos, milk and clams.
Clams.
Pork chops and applesauce is not.
It's just weird to me. Pork chops and applesauce does not sound appealing to me at
all.
Well,
a lot of things you don't think are... So, Chris brought up the 2000 Ravens. I think that's a lot. But if this defense keeps playing like this, and we have the whole Jalen Hurts conversation, there's an early Seahawks thing to this going on. Like, a lot of good players around him. He's more of a game manager. He's not throwing 40 times, but he's playing really well.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
The Russell conversation never seemed to, like, actually find its right place. People are always like, well, he's great, or he's underrated, or he's... And now he's older and different, and he's a Steeler. But the Jalen stuff reminds me of the way people talked about Russ in the beginning of his career.
Yeah, listen, the unfortunate thing for Jalen is because of the way his career has been, nobody feels like they're going to give him the dude that he deserves. Nobody's going to look at the fact that we talked about it, how he's a better quarterback than he was the year that he took them to the Super Bowl, because there's always going to be that group of people that say, well, he had a Hall of Fame receiver, or he had two Hall of Fame receivers.
Man, well, now you throw Saquon in, right? Now you throw this great running back in.
And there are some people out there, just like Chris said, the reason why this team is having a lot of success, and which is a pretty compelling argument, is that we have a running game, like a bona fide running game.
But here's what gets me about that, and I know it's different because it's one guy now.
He's different, though.
But the bottom line is they had a running game 2 years ago.
I'm not arguing
as
that.
As a team.
I'm not arguing that.
Saquon's obviously way better than any of the backs they ran with in 2022. But we did this 2 years ago. They had a great running game next to him.
And I tell you, the narrative of this story matters too, Joe. The narrative matters because the narrative is, when you look back on it, we would not be having the success because of the fact that Jalen looked like. Now, to be fair, he might have worked his way out of it.
Oh, I think he has.
But initially, no, I'm about to set this beautiful story.
Go ahead, set it up.
It looked like in the beginning that this offense was sputtering.
Yep.
And Saquon righted the ship with his running ability.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first couple of weeks of the season, he was averaging like 100 yards a game or something crazy.
Oh, he still
is.
I think he still leads the league in yards per game.
Yeah. So that's what people see, because there are still shades of last year that was in people's minds, even though the season started anew, because Jalen did struggle.
Sure.
So we're, even if we're not admitting it, we're taking last year's struggles and we're lumping them in with this year's struggles.
I kind of have issues with some things that you guys just said there.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
Jalen Hurts is not a better quarterback this year than he was in 2022. He's not. I'm sorry.
All I could give you is like how I feel. I felt.
Yeah, you feel like he's a better quarterback.
I felt better 2 years ago. I'm with you, Kyle.
100%.
I do think it's closer now than
it's closer
realize.
To 22 than 23. I'll grant you that.
Yep.
But here's the other thing I have an issue with. While they did have a running game in 22, they ran to close out games. This year they run to win. The running is their offense.
I feel like he's a better quarterback.
He's not. He's turning the ball over in fewer dropbacks.
You know why I feel like he's a better quarterback, Kyle? And when I look at it, it's not just because I'm assuming, not to put thoughts in your head, but I'm assuming you're just strictly talking about on the field. I'm talking about him in totality. The fact that he's become more of the leader, more so than he was in 22.
But his play on the field is what's most important here, I think
when it comes to a quarterback, it's everything.
Well, I don't think really, like, for the sake of the discussion, we're talking about underrating his play this year. not underrating his leadership this year.
Jack Kyle just poo-pooed everything.
Well, because I don't agree. I don't think it, like, we're not talking about his leadership this year compared to last. Like, that's a different conversation.
The leadership was a huge conversation.
But we're talking about if we're underrating how he's played this year, not how he's rah-rahed and smiled on the sidelines. Who cares right now?
I got you. And I think that, look, I think there's a lot of reasons we're doing it. I don't think anyone's doing it on purpose. I think the beginning of the season's perception becomes reality, the element of Saquon here. I will point out, though, the drive that kind of put the game back in their favor on Sunday, right after the Eagles got the second stop. I don't think Saquon was on the field.
No, he was throwing the ball in.
Yeah, Saquon's been great. I'm not taking anything away from
Saquon. He's been their MVP this year.
He's been their best player.
AJ's been their best player.
He missed games. I would say the best player this year. Yeah,
but you see the difference when AJ's not on the field.
Sure. I think AJ is in it.
MVPs, AJ, Saquon, 1-2. Jalen 3.
No, I'd put Jalen above. All right, 215-592-949. I just watched a drive without Saquon that went right down the field.
Oh, congrats.
Wait, you take Jalen Hurts on the field, but Kenny Pickett's going right down the field?
Kenny Pickett can hand the ball to Saquon just as easy as Jalen can.
Stand up, Joe, stand up.
Kenny Pickett could have threw the crosser to Dallas Goedert.
Stand up, Joe, stand up.
I'm going to stand up. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. We're live today. Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. And we get back. We promise it. We got to do it. We will play the Joel Embiid audio from last night. He played. He did not play well. I didn't expect him to play well because his first game back. He's whatever. But what he said after the game, that got everyone's attention. And it's just like, grow up, man. We'll hit it all next. 215-592-949 for the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NBA is back. And FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports. We want you to catch all the action right now. FanDuel's given everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WIP. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9490. For every underrated the season Jalen Hurts is having, I believe we have. Hugh thinks we've been fair about it. Today's show sponsored by Klondike Kate's Sleigh Bar. Come and check out the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. It is awesome here. We're in Newark, Delaware, Klondike Kate's. Come on by for lunch, hang out. We'll talk some birds and have a good time. Great food here as well. So come on out to Klondike Kate's. Are we also, along with all your calls on Jalen, we're going to get to the Embiid stuff in just a minute here because it's driving me crazy what happened last night. Sixers Knicks with the blue court and Embiid back. And it really wasn't how he played. It was what happened after the game. We will get to that. But Hugh, we do have Combo-Con going on here. It is Combo-Con brought to you by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey, where you can find $3 off 750 milliliters of Black Label and $2 off Jack flavors at your fine wine and good spirit stores, and Gerhard's Appliances, your Black Friday headquarters and the heart of the kitchen for over 80 years. Our qualifying prize today for the Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway, and then you'll be entered for the grand prize, which is so incredible with all the great prizes, the smoker, the cornhole, you got, of course, the TV, 55 inches. It's all
that's
there
nice.
For you.
Oh,
we're looking today
nice.
For weird or odd food combos. I think Hugh thinks a lot of things are weird or odd food combos. Milk and oysters was our last one. All right, we'll
That's different.
That was different. The guy who said it just walked in here. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Tom in Middletown. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
What's going on,
Good
man?
Morning, Tom.
All right, listen, I'm going to agree right off the bat with you. We have not been unfair to Jalen.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so, but you got to understand. Now, and Hugh, you're the only one that could speak to this because you were an athlete in this town. This is a tough town. It's a tough fan base. You get what you get. Okay, so like when Jalen is turning the ball over early or has a crash last year, turning the ball over early in this season, you're going to get some criticism. But now he's back to playing good ball, and now he's going to start getting praise again. I mean, that's just how it is to be in Philadelphia. We are a critical fan base. We're a knowledgeable fan base, and we speak it.
Well, I agree with that, Tom. We are, and that is fair. I just think we've missed – it's almost like the train is leaving the tracks, and we're chasing it here. Like, yes, he started off poorly, but his season has taken off, and I think we've almost been a little slow in realizing how well he's playing compared to the rest of the league.
That's fair. Yes. Being slow is fair, but it's what fans do.
Well, I also think sometimes the beginning clouds the truth. And the beginning was, Tom, I'm with you. The beginning wasn't good. I mean, he turned the ball way too much. But the last month, he's played really well.
Can I give you an analogy?
Sure. We like analogies on the show. We like bad analogies. You can give us a good one or a bad one.
I have four sons, and I used to coach football and baseball. I'm retired now. I'm in my 60s, okay? But when I was coaching them boys, I was hardest on my sons because they're mine, okay? So if I'm hard on Jalen, it's because he's mine. He's on my team.
Sure. Tom, I get that, and I don't expect WIP to spend a lot of time saying, "Hey, that was a bad throw on Sunday by Josh Allen," or Patrick Mahomes isn't playing that great. I get it, but it's the truth, though, right? Like we got to acknowledge the truth that even though we could be hard on him, he's played like a top 10 guy now this season.
He is playing now. He wasn't earlier.
But it's all of it together. Even when you factor in the September, that's where he ranks. That I think that's what we missed. Tom, give us a weird or odd food combo.
I'll tell you what. Once again, I'm in my 60s, so you guys might not even remember this or even know it or have ever been introduced to it. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, every week we used to have a dinner called liver and onions.
So I never ate it, but I remember.
I remember liver and onions.
I remember it. Yeah,
I remember that.
Oh my gosh! It was supposed to be protein packed and iron packed and all that, but it tasted like. Mm.
So you liked it or you hated it?
I hated it.
All right, sounds gross. Yeah, I don't know how people ate that. Tom, we preached the call. You ever dive into liver and onions?
I've had liver and onions before. I remember it.
Yeah.
And it was
how
like
was that?
Liver. Like liver is hard to cook because it's.
What do you do? A saute?
Well, it's like it was like a steak, but it's really tough.
I'm sure.
It's really It's really, really tough.
Why did people eat it?
Was it cheap?
Was it cheaper than a steak?
I remember it when I was younger as a struggle meal.
I think it was
one with rice. I remember eating liver and onion with rice, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
like it was.
Have you had it, Kyle?
I haven't had it, but I don't think it's that like weird. Like it's kind of a normal.
No, but it's still now, you think?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Well, we've learned how to cook liver better. Like, I don't eat liver, but there's better ways to cook liver because I remember it was just tough.
So you think this is an old thing where people, it's kind of passed down in their families? Cause they,
well, it's still a thing.
But it's not served in, like, any place you go eat.
Sure it is.
No, when was the last time you saw liver and onions on a menu?
Well, it's not in America.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, yeah, sure.
It's. I think it's more like a. It might be like an English thing.
I got you. Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a dish. Like liver and onions is a dish. Milk and clams is not. That's sort of where I'm drawing the difference.
I agree. Milk and clams is weirder. All right. I was waiting for. It's almost like we put the bat signal up today. The OG Wade signal. He's here talking Jalen and Hurts. OG, good morning.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. I'm sure you have an opinion on this. It hit me this morning. I think we've underrated Jalen's season. What are you thinking, OG?
Absolutely we did, and we do. I heard that guy, Tom, that just got off. I couldn't disagree with him more. What you got to realize is that there's things that Jalen Hurts does on the football field that you don't see other quarterbacks doing. I will challenge, and I have already done this on Twitter as well as on the radio. Give me Patrick Mahomes making that throw that Jalen Hurts made to Devontae Smith in that game. Give me the throw that Jalen Hurts made to A.J. Brown down the sideline, dropping that dime outside the numbers. Patrick Mahomes has never, ever in his entire career made those throws.
So well, I think he has.
I mean, come on.
I feel like I've seen Mahomes make every. I feel,
Let me
I,
land my plane.
Hold on. But hold on. I know you're going to land it. And you and I are aligned today for the most part that we've kind of underrated what Hurts has done this year. But I've seen Mahomes make every throw.
I didn't say that. I asked you. Do you remember? And people can pull up the tape. Show me Patrick Mahomes making that throw that Jalen made to Devonta Smith in that game.
Oh.
And if you can't, then cut it down. Just agree with me. Until you prove it, then agree with me, Joe. That's all I'm saying. Ride with me. Let me land my plane. I ain't done yet. And stop your little buzzers, too, Kyle. Listen, Jalen Hurts, every player that has played with him ends up having a career year. I can't say that for other quarterbacks. Now, all I'm telling you is that Jalen belongs in the conversation with those guys. So stop saying he's not on this level, he's this, he's that. Everything them dudes can do, Jalen has done, can do, but everything Jalen do, all them other quarterbacks can't do and have not done. Saquon Barkley comes here from the Giants, okay, great player. Never had the year he's having right now with us.
Well, it's probably the offensive line more than Jalen.
No, okay, that's all the same.
Yeah, well, it's
because they all together.
Before Hugh reacts, I just hold on the Mahomes thing because you brought that up. I mean, the guy has 3,000 completions in the NFL. Like, I don't have them all cataloged in my head. I've seen him make brilliant throws. You know, we have all seen them. He's done a lot, and he's been in a lot of big games. Can I tell you the exact throw he made to the back corner of the end zone to whatever receiver? I don't know. But he's made I could think of 300, like, wows I've seen in the 7 or 8 years. Go ahead, Hugh.
My question is, you said there are no – you said something to the effect that there are no receivers – Jalen makes the receivers around him better, correct?
Well, the career years he's seen.
The career years.
Yes.
And you said there's been no other quarterback to do that?
Right. That's playing right now. These guys,
Okay, that's playing right now.
Yes.
That's playing right now.
Yep.
I don't know about that. But, I mean, I get that to you.
And you know what my other thing is?
What's that?
Jalen Hurts own more NFL records than any of the quarterbacks playing right now.
I can't take this.
What records?
What records?
NFL like, records as a you quarterback. Mean Pat, as like, NFL you mean, quarterback.
But what records?
What records? You mean like say? Throwing title?
Well,
like,
what record
like
does he own?
No,
I'm talking about every time we watch the games, right, you always see Jalen Hurts broke another record. He's the only player to ever
what
do
record?
This.
What records has he broken?
About.
Like what record has he broken?
Okay,
you mean
like,
an Eagles record or mean a, in the NFL?
NFL records. I don't want to use too much of my
ones?
Time up. Y'all can actually – it's basically like they just did it the other day. Jalen Hurts, the first player to throw for 12 touchdowns, no interceptions in five games or whatever, stuff like that. They're all NFL records that he set. So what
well,
I'm saying
he's
is
on a, he's had a nice run. I mean, look, all right, OG, he's had a nice run. I think we're going to erase it. OG, what do you got for us in terms of a weird food combo?
Pig feet and peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, that's gross. Hugh, pig feet, peanut butter and jelly.
I don't partake in pig feet anymore.
Yeah, anymore?
No.
But you ever do it with peanut butter and jelly?
Nah.
Would you put peanut butter on it?
I wouldn't.
Jelly.
I don't even fool with the pig feet.
Okay.
No more.
So, can we all quickly agree that like 80% of that was just pure nonsense?
I think there's a thing. We need to take a deep breath with statistics.
That's his truth.
So, yes. anybody with an account on Pro Football Reference can create a statistic, right? Like, and yeah, Jalen Hurts has had some good numbers, but like, I don't know. Ruben Frank, he always puts his observations out after a game, and he always has really unique statistics. It doesn't, like, it paints the picture. It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, Jalen Hurts, I think he's the fifth quarterback ever with four straight games of 115 right. pass rating. That's nice, but like, it's not really meaningful.
Well, so the whole thing about making wide receivers have a career and no one else does that was made up. I mean,
how many guys have played like AJ Brown? Well, AJ Brown's a fair point because he's been better here.
Well,
but Devontae's never played with anybody
correct.
Else.
And I mean, like you could look at Tyreek Hill, who had with Tua last year had a career year that he didn't have with Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs had his career year with Josh Allen. Josh Allen had Stephon Diggs have a career year after he left Minnesota. Like,
right.
This is not an exclusive thing to Jalen Hurts. That was delusional.
Good pull. I mean, but it was like, because I was thinking, the one that I had stuck in my head, and he clarified it when he said that's currently playing, because Wes Welker was a special teams player
and
when he was in Miami.
And then Brady, yeah.
And then he came with Brady, and now he was one of the guys that people are making an argument for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Cousins and Jefferson. I mean,
sure.
McLaurin's going to have a career year with Jaden Daniels this year. Like, what are we talking about?
Well, I always think, too, like, Peyton Manning used to take Austin Colleys of the world.
Yeah,
remember,
yeah.
Make good players.
Mean, that's what I was thinking. But when he said currently playing, that's when I just kind of, all right, man, whatever.
I think it would hold more weight if Devontae was a seventh-round pick or a fifth-round pick. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are supposed to be good.
And when you think about it, not saying that Jalen hasn't done this, but when I think about a quarterback giving receivers career years, most of the time for me it's more like middling court receivers. Like that he brings them, like the Wes Welker
elevate
comparison.
Someone that wasn't
elevates
much,
the Julian Edelmans, guys like that.
Yep.
You're talking about guys who, if they were on any other team, they wouldn't be considered special players.
I think if I had to play a little psychologist here, he's trying to combat the.
Then wait a minute, Sam Bradford and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I think he's trying to combat the.
Am I saying his name wrong?
Sam Darnold.
Darnold. No, Sam Bradford.
Matthew Stafford.
I screw that man's
name
up.
There are a lot of Sam Matthews.
I screw that man's name up
you
all
do.
The time.
You don't respect Matthew Stafford.
Not really.
For a Super Bowl winner. You confuse him with some.
I just can't hear the stuff.
You really do. You really do.
I screw that up all
the time. Guy's been in the league since 2009.
I can't screw his name up all the time.
Can we not do the thing that Jalen makes throws that Patrick Mahomes can't? Like, can we just not do
that,
please?
Can I say that? That one, too, because Patrick Mahomes – had some no look throws that he had.
Like,
he had some sidearm throws.
Just
over the top.
The conversation would be so much better if we leave Mahomes out of it.
Can we not?
And I get Mahomes is not having his best statistical year. We know that. Patrick Mahomes is already one of the four greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. Like, let's just take a deep breath.
And sometimes you just can't argue. Like, when somebody's dug in, like I'd be trying to tell you, I want to
delusional.
Based on when I say the defense is luxury, not a session.
Oh, we will argue.
Sometimes
with
you just can't argue with crazy. People,
what, you think you're off the hook by saying that?
Yes.
No, we're not going to let you. All
yes,
right.
I am.
Speaking of not letting anyone off the hook, can we hear last night Joel Embiid? Let's listen to Embiid after the game. So Embiid played last night. I know everyone was just so thrilled to watch him slog through 26 minutes last night. As he came back, I noticed right away he wasn't really in shape to play. I don't know if he rushed it back or this is what he is now, but you would think, oh, he's back, he's healthy. Nah, it didn't look like it last night. Joel Embiid slogged through 26 minutes, 2 of 11 from the field, 13 points. All right, they lost the game to a better Knicks team. I wasn't shocked. But how about this after the game, Hugh? Listen to Joel Embiid. They play tonight against the Cavaliers, right? They have a back-to-back. He said before the season, in a story with ESPN, he was no longer going to play back-to-backs. Here's what he said last night about, well, maybe I'll play tonight.
Do you expect to play tomorrow? Like,
I mean, I want to. That's up to those guys. I mean, I know I said I will never play back-to-backs, but I'm a troll, so I'm sure at some point I'll play. But I feel good. Feel good right now. We're going to see. But it's up to them.
You said it's up to them, but how much will you try to lobby to try to play?
I can do whatever I want, but, you know, obviously, ultimately, that's a decision. So I'm just going to leave it up to them. But, yeah, I'll be pushing. But, you know, just also got to trust them.
Hugh, what's your reaction to that last? This is slap in the face to fans. Like the troll thing. If he can't play back-to-backs and it's the doctor's orders, then leave it at what it is. But it's almost like I'm just kidding. So I made everyone upset. I made all my fans concerned about my career and our trajectory as a team for the next 5 years. He did that, right? He's the one that volunteered. We won't play back-to-backs anymore, and everyone reacted to that. To a month later to say, yeah, I'm just trolling. Like, that's – grow up. Could you ever imagine saying I'm not going to play the next game, and then you play and say I'm just kidding around? Like, why would he do that?
I don't understand. It's weird. It's a weird way to act, especially after the week that you've just had. After the game you just had, Carl Anthony Towns kind of like, you know,
cooked you.
He was a little physical. First game back. I don't understand. What he was trying to accomplish by saying what he said, Joe. That's the thing that confuses me.
I have a theory.
Yes. Go for it.
My theory is he wants everyone mad at the Sixers and not him. The way he said it, I want to. They won't let me. I, if it was up to me, I would. They won't let me. If I don't play tomorrow night, don't rip me. Rip the Sixers. Joel Embiid always finds a way to try to move the heat off himself. And maybe it is the Sixers' decision, but he's obviously their player, and they have to try to make the right decision. Hugh, I think he did it on purpose to try to take the heat off of himself. It's not about him. Not about how he takes care of his body. It's the Sixers' call.
Yeah, but going into this, and this is where, you know, for me, I have to go back and think about what was said. Because going into the season, it was widely reported and it was thought of that every move that was made, it was mostly Joel's decision.
Or at least together.
Or at least collaborative with
the team.
The team.
Yep.
Now for him to say after the night that he had, it's up to them. That, like I said earlier, they need to just hire me as a PR team, dog. Let me go ahead and spin this back to what benefits me, because It's
so what would you? So if you were there last night, what would you advise the messaging? Because that message is nonsense.
Well, it sounds like it was a preemptive strike, and I would have called him to the side, like, man, what the hell are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You've just inadvertently put a bullseye on your back. You've put yourself in a situation now where we can't control the narrative. Like earlier on, when we were talking about you not playing back to backs and everything, because it was talked about on the broadcast. It's a good chance, you know, Cleveland's coming into town. He's not going to play in the game. Just stick with that narrative.
Here was the quote from him a month ago. Quote, if I had to guess, I would probably never play back-to-backs for the rest of my career. A month later to say, well, I want to play tomorrow night. They won't let me.
And then with everything that has happened with you the last couple of weeks, that's not good timing to say what you said.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal during the game last night at halftime as Embiid. I don't think he had a shot made before the half. He had the free throws because he always gets to the line, but he didn't play well last night. Obviously he didn't look right, didn't play well. Here was Shaq last night at halftime going in on Embiid.
This was the fear I had for Joel Embiid. You announced arrogantly, I'm not playing back-to-backs, Ernie. I'm not injured, but I'm sore. I come in when I want to come back. Now when you say things like that, you're supposed to come back with extra energy. 0 for 3, I'd have been 0 for 15, but you know what y'all have said? Hey, Shaq's not playing well, but he's playing aggressive. So the plan that they're having,
not working.
It's not working. And not only that, I say this respectfully, Joel Embiid will never win a championship until he gets his mind and his attitude right.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I totally agree with Shaq on that. And, you know, Hugh, if that was him fully rested, I don't feel great about what I saw last night. Because shouldn't he be ready to go? If that's the first game they decided he's healthy to play, he looked gassed.
And it's And I heard people talking about, well, you know, this is kind of how Joel Embiid is. He has to kind of ramp up.
Yeah.
You've been ramping up for the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Man.
What have we been doing?
Yeah. It doesn't fit. This is the problem that I have with that, is because you hear him say that he wants to be known as one of the greatest. His athleticism has already put him in that category. The fact that he can walk out there on the court, what he say? He's a walking 30-point. He can score 30 points when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But when you have that type of effort and you say some of the things that you say, it's like winning a championship and everything, what you show people and what you say are in two different stratospheres.
They are. And that's
the problem.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom that you're really somebody that says that you want to win a championship, but you have that kind of lackluster effort out there last night.
Yeah, and if that's what he looks like after all this rest, I just don't feel great about where this is going. Steve's in Trenton. Steve is up on WIP. Hey, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing this evening?
Good, Steve. What are you thinking today?
Well, I'm just out here actively looking for Bigfoot, but...
As are 70% of Americans, according to
you. I like how you've embraced it and you've admitted it. I appreciate man. I appreciate
it. Well, I can't lie on the air, but unfortunately, Joel Embiid is on my mind, clouding my vision, so I can't find Bigfoot today. Listen, I've defended this guy forever, and I'll start off by saying he's probably the most talented scoring big since Shaq. I mean, I think he's that good, but I'm done. This guy is a loser, and it's his mentality makes him a loser.
So strong.
What really made me realize this recently, a good, litmus test, if you will, for somebody's really got the right mentality. You imagine the stuff he says, the stuff he does, just over the past years, throwing the teammates under the bus, the coming out and saying the stuff about attacks, the complaining to the media, even the little eyes he gave Paul George at that halftime show or whatever. Could you ever imagine Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James ever doing any of these things? The answer is no. They never would. And if I could give you a little, analogy, bear with me for a second. Joel Embiid is that kid you got the test on Friday, and he tells you, oh, I really want to pass it. I want to do my best. And then he doesn't study all week, and then he gets to the test, and he gives you his best effort, and he gets a C, and he goes, oh, but I tried my best. You got to be the guy who studies all week. He gets ready, he gets prepared. He doesn't put himself in the best position, and then he makes excuses about other things at the end when he could have controlled things with his own power. The Olympics, whichever way you want to look at it, it didn't work out. Okay, he's not
the
playing,
best way I could frame it, Steve. And I love your analogy, Steve. I love your analogy. The best way I could frame it is he doesn't get it, and it's one like not every 23, 24 year old, 25 year old NBA player does, but the greats figure it out. And I'm at the point now where he doesn't get it, and you at some point you got to stop waiting for the 30 something year old player to just like wake up and be mature and figure it all out. I mean, like, it just like it's crazy that we do this every single year. Steve, good analogy. All right, give us a weird food combo, Steve. What do you got for us?
So a weird food combo I got. My uncle would really do this: vanilla ice cream and ketchup.
Oh,
vanilla?
No!
Seriously.
He'd eat it.
Got one more thing, guys. When I'm off speakerphone, it's really hard for me to hear you. So sorry if I cut anybody off, but thanks so much for talking to you. Talk to you next time.
You got it, Steve. Appreciate it. Vanilla ice cream and ketchup. You in, Hugh?
No.
I guess the ketchup's almost like a
I tell you, my dad used to have a weird combination. Oh yeah, by the way, before I get into that, Bigfoot was heard howling in Connecticut.
Oh, was he?
A couple days ago. Yeah.
70% of Americans are on
saying,
the
was,
on
I
the
trip.
You hear
I,
them
I
all;
the
they're all turning around at
no,
once.
No, I'm just saying. I
all
read
those
the story.
People.
Bigfoot was he was heard howling in Connecticut. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. They say it was the Bigfoot.
I believe you.
He's in Connecticut.
I never disputed Bigfoot.
And to help all the 70% of people out there that's looking for Bigfoot,
that's a crazy number.
He's. It seems like most of the Bigfoot sightings have been
wait,
somewhere. No,
wait,
in
how do they know the howl was? Was from Bigfoot.
Well, that's what they said.
Because it was a nondescript
howl. Because you know what foxes sound like? It sounded
foxes
like
sound
Bigfoot.
Crazy.
It sounded like Bigfoot.
No one's disputing Bigfoot might exist. It's the amount of people you
70%.
Think are 70%. Actively chasing him.
Oh, yeah, but the weird food combination? Yeah. My dad used to do buttermilk and cornbread.
That's not that crazy.
That sounds pretty crazy to me.
Well, compared
buttermilk,
to...
Buttermilk is not... it's not tasty. It's like a,
he
put the buttermilk and cornbread together, and he would crunch it up, and he would eat it like a snack.
I think there's worse on the board, including vanilla and ketchup. All right, 215-592-9494. We're live today. Klondike Kate's Restaurant Saloon in Newark, Delaware. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. All right, coming up next, your phone calls. We will replay Nick Sirianni's conversation with The Morning Show. Your calls on Jalen Hurts this season. Have we underrated it? And we have to react to something Ross Tucker said this morning that we hadn't considered at all, but definitely worth thinking about tomorrow. Plus, your take on Embiid last night totally annoyed me the way he reacted after the game, putting it on the team. Didn't look right. Just feel he doesn't get it. I totally agree with Jack. He doesn't get it. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The Hess Toy Truck is back and better than ever for the 60th year. The 2024 Hess Fire Truck with car and motorcycle packaged in a specially marked product box commemorates their milestone anniversary as the official 60th anniversary toy. In celebration, this new heroic emergency response trio is the most feature-packed holiday Hess Toy Truck team ever, loaded with an array of animated lights, sounds, motors, and chrome detailing. And as always, free standard shipping and batteries are included. Available only at HessToyTruck.com. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Every underrated the season Jalen Hurts is having. I believe we have. Hugh thinks we've been fair about it. Today's show sponsored by Klondike Kate's Sleigh Bar. Come and check out the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. It is awesome here. We're in Newark, Delaware, Klondike Kate's. Come on by for lunch, hang out. We'll talk some birds and have a good time. Great food here as well. So come on out to Klondike Kate's. Are we also, along with all your calls on Jalen, we're going to get to the Embiid stuff in just a minute here because it's driving me crazy what happened last night. Sixers-Knicks with the blue court and Embiid back. And it really wasn't how he played. It was what happened after the game. We will get to that. But Hugh, we do have Combo-Con going on here. It is Combo-Con brought to you by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey, where you can find $3 off 750 milliliters of Black Label and $2 off Jack flavors at your fine wine and good spirit stores, and Gerhard's Appliances, your Black Friday headquarters and the heart of the kitchen for over 80 years. Our qualifying prize today for the Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway, and then you'll be entered for the grand prize, which is so incredible with all the great prizes, the smoker, the cornhole, you got, of course, the TV, 55 inches. It's all
that's
there
nice.
For you.
Oh,
we're looking today
nice.
For weird or odd food combos. I think Hugh thinks a lot of things are weird or odd food combos. Milk and oysters was our last one. All right, we'll
That's different.
That was different. The guy who said it just walked in here. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Tom in Middletown. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
What's going on,
Good
man?
Morning, Tom.
All right, listen, I'm going to agree right off the bat with you. We have not been unfair to Jalen.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so, but you got to understand. Now, and, Hugh, you're the only one that could speak to this because you were an athlete in this town. This is a tough town. It's a tough fan base. You get what you get. Okay, so like when Jalen is turning the ball over early or has a crash last year, turning the ball over early in this season, you're going to get some criticism. But now he's back to playing good ball, and now he's going to start getting praise again. I mean, that's just how it is to be in Philadelphia. We are a critical fan base. We're a knowledgeable fan base, and we speak it.
Well, I agree with that, Tom. We are, and that is fair. I just think we've missed – it's almost like the train is leaving the tracks, and we're chasing it here. Like, yes, he started off poorly, but his season has taken off, and I think we've almost been a little slow in realizing how well he's playing compared to the rest of the league.
That's fair. Yes. Being slow is fair, but it's what fans do.
Well, I also think sometimes the beginning clouds the truth. And the beginning was, Tom, I'm with you. The beginning wasn't good. I mean, he turned the ball way too much. But the last month, he's played really well.
Can I give you an analogy?
Sure. We like analogies on the show. We like bad analogies. You can give us a good one or a bad one.
I have four sons, and I used to coach football and baseball. I'm retired now. I'm in my 60s, okay? But when I was coaching them boys, I was hardest on my sons because they're mine, okay? So if I'm hard on Jalen, it's because he's mine. He's on my team.
Sure. Tom, I get that. And I don't expect WIP to spend a lot of time saying, hey, that was a bad throw on Sunday by Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes isn't playing that great. I get it. But it's the truth, though, right? Like, we got to acknowledge the truth that even though we could be hard on him, he's played like a top 10 guy now this season.
He is playing now. He wasn't earlier.
But it's all of it together. Even when you factor in the September, that's where he ranks. That I think that's what we missed. Tom, give us a weird or odd food combo.
I'll tell you what. Once again, I'm in my 60s, so you guys might not even remember this or even know it or have ever been introduced to it. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, every week we used to have a dinner called liver and onions.
So I never ate it, but I remember.
I remember liver and onions.
I remember it. Yeah,
I remember that.
Oh my gosh, it was supposed to be protein packed and iron packed and all that, but it tasted like.
So you liked it or you hated it?
I hated it.
All right, sounds gross. Yeah, I don't know how people ate that. Tom, we preached the call. You ever dive into liver and onions?
I've had liver and onions before. I remember it.
Yeah.
And it was
how
like
was that?
Liver. Like liver is hard to cook because it's.
What do you do? A saute?
Well, it's like it was like a steak, but it's really tough.
I'm sure.
It's really tough.
Why did people eat it?
Was
it cheaper than
struggle meal.
A steak?
I remember it when I was younger as a struggle meal.
I think it
was one with rice. I remember eating liver and onion with rice, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
like it was.
Have you had it, Kyle?
I haven't had it, but I don't think it's that. like weird. Like it's kind of a normal.
No, but it's still now, you think?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Well, we've learned how to cook liver better. Like I don't eat liver, but there's better ways to cook liver because I remember it was just tough.
So you think this is an old thing where people it's kind of passed down in their families because
it's still a thing.
But it's not served in like any place you go eat.
Sure it is.
No. When was the last time you saw liver and onions on a menu?
Well, it's not maybe not in America.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, yeah, sure.
It's. I think it's more like a. It might be like an English thing.
I got you. Oh, okay. That. Okay. Then.
But
I get
like,
that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's a dish. Like liver and onions is a dish. Milk and clams is not. That's sort of where I'm drawing the difference.
I agree. Milk and clams is weirder. All right. I was waiting for. It's almost like we put the bat signal up today. The OG Wade signal. He's here talking Jalen and Hurts. OG. Good morning.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. I'm sure you have an opinion on this. It hit me this morning. I think we've underrated Jalen's season. What are you thinking, OG?
Absolutely, we did, and we do. I heard that guy, Tom, that just got off. I couldn't disagree with him more. What you got to realize is that there's things that Jalen Hurts does on the football field that you don't see other quarterbacks doing. I will challenge, and I have already done this on Twitter as well as on the radio. Give me Patrick Mahomes making that throw that Jalen Hurts made to Devontae Smith in that game. Give me the throw that Jalen Hurts made to A.J. Brown down the sideline, dropping that dime outside the numbers. Patrick Mahomes has never, ever in his entire career made those throws.
So well, I think he has.
I mean, come on.
I feel like I've seen Mahomes make every. I feel,
Let me land my plane.
Hold on. But hold on. I know you're going to land it. You and I are aligned today for the most part that we've kind of underrated what Hurts has done this year. But I've seen Mahomes make every throw.
I didn't say that. I asked you. Do you remember? And can people can pull up the tape. Show me Patrick Mahomes making that throw that Jalen made to Devonta Smith in that game.
Oh.
And if you can't, then cut it down. Just agree with me. Until you prove it, then agree with me, Joe. That's all I'm saying. Ride with me. Let me land my plane. I ain't done yet. And stop your little buzzers, too, Kyle. Listen, Jalen Hurts, every player that has played with him ends up having a career year. I can't say that for other quarterbacks. Now, all I'm telling you is that Jalen belongs in the conversation with those guys. So stop saying he's not on this level, he's this, he's that. Everything them dudes can do, Jalen has done, can do, but everything Jalen do, all them other quarterbacks can't do and have not done. Saquon Barkley comes here from the Giants, okay, great player. Never had the year he's having right now with us.
Well, it's probably the offensive line more than Jalen.
No, okay, it's all the same.
Yeah, well, it's
because they all together.
Before Hugh reacts, I just hold on the Mahomes thing because you brought that up. I mean, the guy has 3,000 completions in the NFL. Like, I don't have them all cataloged in my head. I've seen him make brilliant throws. You know, we have all seen them. He's done a lot, and he's been in a lot of big games. Can I tell you the exact throw he made to the back corner of the end zone to whatever receiver? I don't know. But he's made I could think of 300, like, wows I've seen in the 7 or 8 years. Go ahead, Hugh.
My question is, you said there are no – you said something to the effect that there are no receivers – Jalen makes the receivers around him better, correct?
Well, the career years he's seen.
The career years.
Yes.
And you said there's been no other quarterback to do that?
Right. That's playing right now. These guys,
okay, that's playing right now.
Yes.
That's playing right now.
That's playing right now. Yep. Yep. Yep.
I don't know about that. But, I mean, I get that to you. I get that to you.
And you know what my other thing is?
What's that?
Jalen Hurts own more NFL records than any of the quarterbacks playing right now.
I can't take this.
What records?
What records?
NFL like, records as a
you
quarterback.
Mean Pat,
as
like
an
you
NFL
mean,
quarterback.
But what records?
What records? You mean like
say?
Throwing title?
Well,
like,
what record
like
does he
own?
No, I'm talking about every time we watch the games, right, you always see Jalen Hurts broke another record. He's the only
okay,
player
what,
to ever
what
do
record?
This.
What records has he broken?
About.
Like what record has he broken?
Okay,
you mean
like,
an Eagles record? Or mean up in the NFL.
No, NFL records. I don't want to use too much of my time. Y'all can actually. It's basically like they just did it the other day. Jalen Hurts, the first player to throw for 12 touchdowns, no interceptions in 5 games or whatever, stuff like that. They're all NFL records that he set.
So what
well,
I'm saying
he's
is
on a, he's had a nice run. I mean, he's I mean, look, all right, OG, he's had a nice run. I think we're going to race it. OG, what do you got for us in terms of a weird food combo?
Pig feet and peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, that's gross. Hugh, pig feet, peanut butter and jelly.
I don't partake in pig feet anymore.
Yeah, anymore?
No.
But you ever do it with peanut butter and jelly?
Nah.
Would you put peanut butter on it?
I wouldn't.
Jelly.
I don't even fool with the pig feet.
Okay.
No more.
So, can we all quickly agree that like 80% of that was just pure nonsense?
I think there's a thing. We need to take a deep breath with statistics.
That's his truth.
So, yes. anybody with an account on Pro Football Reference can create a statistic, right? Like, and yeah, Jalen Hurts has had some good numbers, but like, I don't know. Ruben Frank, he always puts his observations out after a game, and he always has really unique statistics. It doesn't, like, it paints the picture. It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, Jalen Hurts, I think he's the fifth quarterback ever with four straight games of 115 right. pass rating. That's nice, but like, it's not really meaningful.
Well, so the whole thing about making wide receivers have a career and no one else does that was made up. I mean,
how many guys have played like AJ Brown? Well, AJ Brown's a fair point because he's been better here.
Well,
but Devontae's never played with anybody
correct.
Else.
And I mean, like you could look at Tyreek Hill, who had with Tua last year had a career year that he didn't have with Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs had his career year with Josh Allen. Josh Allen had Stephon Diggs have a career year after he left Minnesota. Like,
right.
This is not an exclusive thing to Jalen Hurts. That was delusional.
Good pull. I mean, but it was like, because I was thinking, the one that I had stuck in my head, and he clarified it when he said that's currently playing, because Wes Welker was a special teams player
and
when he was in Miami.
And then Brady, yeah.
And then he came with Brady, and now he was one of the guys that people are making an argument for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Cousins and Jefferson. I mean, sure. McLaurin's going to have a career year with Jaden Daniels this year. Like, what are we talking about?
Well, I always think, too, like, Peyton Manning used to take Austin Colleys of the world.
Yeah,
remember,
yeah.
Make the good
I mean,
players.
That's what I was thinking. But when
that
he said,
nonsense.
When he said currently playing, that's when I just kind of eyed it, man. Whatever.
I think it would hold more weight if Devontae was a seventh-round pick or a fifth-round pick. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are supposed to be good.
And when you think about it, not saying that Jalen hasn't done this, but when I think about a quarterback giving receivers career years, most of the time for me it's more like middling court receivers. Like that he brings them like the Wes Welker
elevates
comparison,
someone that wasn't
elevates
much,
the Julian Edelmans, guys like that.
Yep.
You're talking about guys who would if they were on any other team, they wouldn't be considered special players.
I think so if I had to play a little psychologist here, he's trying to combat the...
Then wait a minute, Sam Bradford and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I think he's trying to combat the...
Am I saying his name wrong?
Sam Darnold.
Darnold. No, Bradford.
Matthew Stafford.
I screw that man's
name
up.
There are a lot of Sam Matthews.
I screw that man's name up
you
all
do.
The time.
You don't respect Matthew Stafford.
Not really.
For a Super Bowl winner. You confuse him with some.
I just can't hear the stuff.
You really do. You really do.
I screw that up all
the time. Guy's been in the league since 09.
And I can't screw his name up all the time.
Can we not do the thing that Jalen makes throws that Patrick Mahomes can't? Like, can we just not do
that,
please?
Can I say that? That one, too, because Patrick Mahomes has some no look throws that he had.
Like,
he has some sidearm throws.
I just
over the
conversation would be so much better if we leave Mahomes out of it.
Patrick, right? Like, can we not?
And I get Mahomes is not having his best statistical year. We know that. Patrick Mahomes is already one of the four greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. Like, let's just take a deep breath.
And sometimes you just can't argue. Like, when somebody's dug in, like I'd be trying to tell you, I want to
delusional.
Based on when I say the defense is luxury, not a session.
Oh, we will argue.
Sometimes
with
you just can't argue with crazy. People,
what, you think you're off the hook by saying that?
Yes.
No, we're not going to let you. All
yes,
right.
I am.
Speaking of not letting anyone off the hook, can we hear last night Joel Embiid? Let's listen to Embiid after the game. So Embiid played last night. I know everyone was just so thrilled to watch him slog through 26 minutes last night. As he came back, I noticed right away he wasn't really in shape to play. I don't know if he rushed it back or this is what he is now, but you would think, oh, he's back, he's healthy. Nah, it didn't look like it last night. Joel Embiid slogged through 26 minutes, 2 of 11 from the field, 13 points. All right, they lost the game to a better Knicks team. I wasn't shocked. But how about this after the game, Hugh? Listen to Joel Embiid. They play tonight against the Cavaliers, right? They have a back-to-back. He said before the season, in a story with ESPN, he was no longer going to play back-to-backs. Here's what he said last night about, well, maybe I'll play tonight.
Do you expect to play tomorrow? Like,
I mean, I want to. That's up to those guys. I mean, I know I said I will never play back-to-backs, but I'm a troll, so I'm sure at some point I'll play. But I feel good right now. We're going to see. But it's up to them.
You said it's up to them, but how much will you try to lobby to try to play?
I can do whatever I want, but you know, obviously, ultimately, that's a decision. So I'm just gonna leave it up to them. But yeah, I'll be pushing. But you know, just also gotta trust them.
Hugh, what's your reaction to that last? This is slap in the face to fans. Like the troll thing. If he can't play back-to-backs and it's the doctor's orders, then leave it at what it is. But it's almost like I'm just kidding. So I made everyone upset. I made all my fans concerned about my career and our trajectory as a team for the next 5 years. He did that, right? He's the one that volunteered. We won't play back-to-backs anymore, and everyone reacted to that. To a month later to say, yeah, I'm just trolling. Like, that's – grow up. Could you ever imagine saying I'm not going to play the next game, and then you play and say I'm just kidding around? Like, why would he do that?
I don't understand. It's weird. It's a weird way to act, especially after the week that you've just had. After the game you just had, Carl Anthony Towns kind of like, you know,
cooked you.
He was a little physical. First game back. I don't understand what he was trying to accomplish by saying what he said, Joe. That's the thing that confuses me.
I have a theory.
Yes. Go for it.
My theory is he wants everyone mad at the Sixers and not him. The way he said it, I want to. They won't let me. I, if it was up to me, I would. They won't let me. If I don't play tomorrow night, don't rip me. Rip the Sixers. Joel Embiid always finds a way to try to move the heat off himself. And maybe it is the Sixers' decision, but he's obviously their player, and they have to try to make the right decision. Hugh, I think he did it on purpose to try to take the heat off of himself. It's not about him. Not about how he takes care of his body. It's the Sixers' call.
Yeah, but going into this, and this is where, you know, for me, I have to go back and think about what was said. Because going into the season, it was widely reported and it was thought of that every move that was made, it was mostly Joel's decision.
Or at least together.
Or at least collaborative with
the team.
The team.
Yep.
Now for him to say after the night that he had, it's up to them. That, like I said earlier, they need to just hire me as a PR team, dog. Let me go ahead and spin this back to what benefits me, because It's
so what would you? So if you were there last night, what would you advise the messaging? Because that messaging is nonsense.
Well, it sounds like it was a preemptive strike, and I would have called him to the side, like, man, what the hell are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You've just inadvertently put a bullseye on your back. You've put yourself in a situation now where we can't control the narrative. Like earlier on, when we were talking about you not playing back to backs and everything, because it was talked about on the broadcast. It's a good chance, you know, Cleveland's coming into town. He's not going to play in the game. Just stick with that narrative.
Here was the quote from him a month ago. Quote, if I had to guess, I would probably never play back-to-backs for the rest of my career. A month later to say, well, I want to play tomorrow night. They won't let me.
And then with everything that has happened with you the last couple of weeks, that's not good timing to say what you said.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal during the game last night at halftime as Embiid. I don't think he had a shot made before the half. He had the free throws because he always gets to the line. But he didn't play well last night, obviously. He didn't look right. Didn't play well. Here was Shaq last night at halftime going in on Embiid.
This was the fear I had for Joel Embiid. You announced arrogantly, I'm not playing back-to-backs, Ernie. I'm not injured, but I'm sore. I come in when I want to come back. Now, when you say things like that, you're supposed to come back with extra energy. 0 for 3, I'd have been 0 for 15. But you know what y'all would have said? Hey, Shaq's not playing well, but he's playing aggressive. So the plan that they're having,
not working.
It's not working. And not only that, I say this respectfully, Joel Embiid will never win a championship until he gets his mind and his attitude right.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I totally agree with Shaq on that. And, you know, Hugh, if that was him fully rested, I don't feel great about what I saw last night. Because shouldn't he be ready to go? If that's the first game they decided he's healthy to play, he looked gassed.
And I heard people talking about, well, you know, this is kind of how Joel Embiid is. He has to kind of ramp up.
Yeah.
You've been ramping up for the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Man.
What have we been doing?
Yeah. It doesn't fit. This is the problem that I have with that, is because you hear him say that he wants to be known as one of the greatest. His athleticism has already put him in that category. The fact that he can walk out there on the court, he's a walking 30-point. He can score 30 points when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But when you have that type of effort and you say some of the things that you say, it's like winning a championship and everything, what you show people and what you say are in two different stratospheres.
They are. And that's
the problem.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom that you're really somebody that says that you want to win a championship, but you have that kind of lackluster effort out there last night.
Yeah, and if that's what he looks like after all this rest, I just don't feel great about where this is going. Steve's in Trenton. Steve is up on WIP. Hey, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing this evening?
Good, Steve. What are you thinking today?
Well, I'm just out here actively looking for Bigfoot, but
as are 70% of Americans, according to you.
I like how you've embraced it and you've admitted it. I appreciate man. I appreciate
it. Well, I can't lie on the air, but unfortunately, Joel Embiid is on my mind, clouding my vision, so I can't find Bigfoot today. Listen, I've defended this guy forever, and I'll start off by saying he's probably the most talented scoring big since Shaq. I mean, I think he's that good, but I'm done. This guy is a loser, and it's his mentality makes him a loser.
So strong.
What really made me realize this recently, a good, litmus test, if you will, for somebody's really got the right mentality. You imagine the stuff he says, the stuff he does, just over the past years, throwing the teammates under the bus, the coming out and saying the stuff about attacks, the complaining to the media, even the little eyes he gave Paul George at that halftime show or whatever. Could you ever imagine Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James ever doing any of these things? The answer is no. They never would. And if I could give you a little, analogy, bear with me for a second. Joel Embiid is that kid you got the test on Friday, and he tells you, I really want to pass it. I want to do my best. And then he doesn't study all week, and then he gets to the test, and he gives you his best effort, and he gets a C, and he goes, but I tried my best. You got to be the guy who studies all week. He gets ready, he gets prepared. He doesn't put himself in the best position, and then he makes excuses about other things at the end when he could have controlled things with his own power. The Olympics, whichever way you want to look at it, it didn't work out. Okay, he's not
the
playing,
best way I could frame it, Steve. And I love your analogy, Steve. I love your analogy. The best way I could frame it is he doesn't get it, not every 23, 24-year-old, 25-year-old NBA player does, but the greats figure it out. And I'm at the point now where he doesn't get it. At some point, you got to stop waiting for the 30-something-year-old player to just, wake up and be mature and figure it all out. I mean, it's crazy that we do this every single year. Steve, good analogy there. All right, give us a weird food combo, Steve. What do you got for us?
So a weird food combo I got, my uncle would really do this. Vanilla ice cream and ketchup.
Oh,
vanilla?
No.
Seriously?
He'd eat it.
Got one more thing, guys. When I'm off speakerphone, it's really hard for me to hear you. So sorry if I cut anybody off, but thanks so much for talking to you. Talk to you next time.
You got it, Steve. Appreciate it. Vanilla ice cream and ketchup. You in, Hugh?
No.
I guess the ketchup's almost like a
I tell you, my dad used to have a weird combination. Oh, yeah. By the way, before I get into that, Bigfoot was heard howling in Connecticut.
Oh, was he?
A couple days ago. Yeah.
70% of Americans are on
saying,
the
was,
on
I
the
was,
tra- you hear
I,
them
I
all
the
they're all turning around at
no,
once.
No, I'm just saying I
all
read
those
the story.
People.
Bigfoot was he was heard howling in Connecticut. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. They say it was the Bigfoot.
I believe you.
He's in Connecticut.
I never disputed Bigfoot.
And to help all the 70% of people out there that's looking for Bigfoot.
That's a crazy number.
He's it seems like most of the Bigfoot sightings have been
wait,
somewhere no,
wait,
in Connecticut.
How do they know the howl was from Bigfoot?
Well, that's what they said.
Because
it was a nondescript howl. Because you know what foxes sound like? It sounded
foxes
like
sound
Bigfoot.
Crazy.
It sounded like Bigfoot.
No one's disputing Bigfoot might exist. It's the amount of people you
70%.
Think are
70%.
Actively chasing him.
Oh, yeah, but the weird food combination? Yeah. My dad used to do buttermilk and cornbread.
That's not that crazy.
That sounds pretty crazy to me.
Well, compared
buttermilk,
to...
Buttermilk is not it's not tasty. It's like a.
Oh, he
it's
drank.
Like a little,
he drank.
No, he
it.
Put the buttermilk and cornbread together, and he would crunch it up, and he would eat it like a snack.
I think there's worse on the board, including vanilla and ketchup. All right, 215-592-9494. We're live today. Klondike Kate's Restaurant Saloon in Newark, Delaware. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. All right, coming up next, your phone calls. We will replay Nick Sirianni's conversation with The Morning Show. Your calls on Jalen Hurts this season. Have we underrated it? And we have to react to something Ross Tucker said this morning that we hadn't considered at all, but definitely worth thinking about tomorrow. Plus, your take on Embiid last night totally annoyed me the way he reacted after the game, putting it on the team. Didn't look right. Just feel he doesn't get it. I totally agree with Jack. He doesn't get it. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The Hess Toy Truck is back and better than ever for the 60th year. The 2024 Hess Fire Truck with car and motorcycle packaged in a specially marked product box commemorates their milestone anniversary as the official 60th anniversary toy. In celebration, this new heroic emergency response trio is the most feature-packed holiday Hess Toy Truck team ever, loaded with an array of animated lights, sounds, motors, and chrome detailing. And as always, free standard shipping and batteries are included. Available only at HessToyTruck.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.